Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
Hey, I want to start out in the Word here. Turn your Bibles, or no, just look at the screens. Philippians, the first chapter and the sixth verse, okay? Philippians 1:6. And it's real simple. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it under the day of Christ Jesus. Okay? And the bottom line now, God's working in you now, right now, right here and right now. God's working in your life. He's working in your behalf. Listen, he's working things out that's in front of you. He's kind of cleaning up some messes that are behind you. He's taking care of things in the periphery, but much greater than any of that is God's doing a work in your heart. God's doing a work in your life right now. And see, we have to, we look at it, see, that we talk so much. And I was with a group of pastors here a week or so ago, and we were talking about, you know, how much communication and how much teaching we've done on giving. And you know what? I'm not sure if we've done enough communication and instruction on receiving. So that's where I'm going to go this today, and I'm going to go next week. And man, I want to, everybody watching online, I'm believing that what this is going to do is that when we give our lives to Jesus, what God does is he puts a supernatural motivation on the inside of us. And you know what? Where you begin to care for people that you didn't even notice before. You begin to think about regions in the world that you didn't even know existed before. You begin to, man, soften and warm up to people maybe of a different race or a different culture that maybe you had a bigotry to before. But now God's doing a work in your life, and what he does too is he puts a motivation. But then the world, everything about the world when it comes to Christianity is trying to suppress and limit and lock up that motivation. Man, so many people, man, the church, we've got to do handsprings. We got to get up and, man, there's got to be fireworks and we got to jump through hoops to keep people involved and entertain people just because apathy is right around the corner in so many people's lives. Man, you start out and you're zooming, man, you're on fire for God, and then what happens? And man, it might be that way in marriage, it might be that way within your education and in other things. And you think about your life and you think about that motivation. And what I'm believing God for today is I'm believing that motivation become unlocked in your life. We unlock motivation in lives where people that once weren't, man, were laying dormant or just kind of felt like you were cast on the wayside. That today, man, you get back in your lane and you run this race as one who wins. Anybody with me on that? Man, but realize God's got a plan for your life. He's got a work he's doing in your life. But listen, that plan, just like that work, happens in steps. All right? They are steps of faith. God is never requiring you to take a leap of faith. As a matter of fact, the only requirement Jesus had of a leap of faith is when Satan tempted him and said, man, jump off this cliff and throw yourself on those rocks and see. And he said, look, you don't tempt the Lord your God. And so it's never that leap of faith. All it is just step of faith. Man, you're just gonna take a step of faith. And then those steps of faith, listen, become a life of faith. Man, that life of faith changes things. In the book of Mark, Jesus is real. He makes it real clear about these steps. And he said, the kingdom of God is this: if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by day and rise, or sleep by night, rise by day, and then the plants sprout and he doesn't even know, it grows and he doesn't even know how. Man, for the earth yields crops. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head, but when the grain ripens immediately, puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So the four different stages, four different steps are, look, first the blade, then the head, then the full grain in the head, then the harvest. And see, if you're looking where it's like, look, I've sowed a seed and now I'm looking for the harvest, and you look out there, the harvest doesn't happen. It's like, oh my gosh, what's going on? It's happening in steps. Man, listen. The Bible says many of the plans of a man's heart, But God orders, God ordains his steps. See, this is all about steps. Because what these steps become is we begin to walk. It's not hard for me to walk across here the first time I did it. Maybe when I was a toddler. You know, it's interesting, but Chris has got a toddler right now, right? Chris, come up here and walk like your toddler. Because he explained it to me. And let me tell you, we got to get a camera on Chris. Because he described it. He said a bow-legged robot is what his toddler looks like, okay? And then I'm thinking, a bow-legged robot, it doesn't make any sense. And then he proceeded to do this. Now I'm open. Let me tell you, that's some like extreme talent to be able to, man. Anybody else think they could do a bow-legged robot this morning? I'll tell you, you should win a prize. But I promise you, she's not probably gonna walk. If she does, I think we're gonna get a big kick out of it. She'll have some great nicknames. But she's not going to walk like that just in a few minutes. Then everything begins to change, and we develop, and we get stronger in our walk. How many of you guys are ready to get stronger in your walk? Well, we've learned how to give. We've been taught how to give. Man, let's learn how to receive. Man, what if we really look at this? Turn your Bibles to Numbers, the 13th chapter. Numbers 13. Give somebody a high five and thank God for his word. Just, man, let's rejoice together. Man, we're here to unlock motivation today. Numbers 13. Tell me when you're there. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran according to the command of the Lord, all of them, listen, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. And then it names all those guys, and we're going to go to verse 17. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests or there are not. Be of good courage. That's highlighted in my Bible. And bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rahob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron. Ahiman, Sheshea, Talmiah, the descendants of Anak were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Verse 23, then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. Man, this huge cluster. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. Now listen to this, because the Old Testament, if you wanna really study the word and read the word and know the word, when you go to the Old Testament, listen, it's a type and shadow of what's to come. All right, keep the right perspective. It's a type and shadow. It's simple. It shows what's to come. Okay, the Gospels then are a bridge to get us to the Book of Acts and beyond, which is the New Testament or the New Covenant, which is literal, which is what we live by. But listen, the Old Testament's a type and shadow. So let's talk about the fruit for a minute. He told them to bring some fruit. They brought a cluster of grapes that it required two men to carry that cluster. All right. Then he also brought pomegranates and figs. Now, grapes here symbolize redemption. And the cluster of redemption is so great, it has to be carried in. All right? So it's redemption. A pomegranate symbolizes worship. And a fig is destiny. See, figs at that time were like, my gosh, like wheat in America, just grew everywhere. It's like weeds. But in the promised land, figs were so plenteous. So you put it in perspective and you understand what the type of this is for our lives. It's redemption, worship, and this incredible destiny. And that's what makes up the local church. That's what we're about here. Man, our redemption, man, we're preaching Jesus. We're preaching new life in Christ. Man, that's our redemption. That our old life, the debt from our old life has been paid for, so now we can live a brand new life and walk like bow-legged robots for a while. See, so then we get to the pomegranate, and God's requiring us as a church, man, to prepare a premium place of worship. But then figs, how plenteous our destiny is. And that's where I'm at today. Man, I want to talk to you. It's not your destination. Your destiny is not in the great by and by. Your destiny is what you're born into as a believer in Jesus. Man, you give your life to Jesus, you're born again. So now that redemption, that's a redemptive road that we're on now. That redemption kicks in. So now we've got destiny and God's hands on our life. Man, nothing can snatch us from the Father's hands. Let's read a little further. So they, verse 24, the place was called the Valley of Ishkol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land. Listen, after 40 days, they were there for 40 days. It wasn't just a drive-through. It wasn't just a drive-by. They didn't just take a snapshot, a glance. They weren't there. No, you know what? They lingered for a while. Verse 26, now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. Look at me. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit thereof. See, you have to understand, they didn't just say, it flows with milk and honey and there's some fruit. No, this cluster of grapes required two significant men, strong men, to carry it. Man, it truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit thereof. Man, their tenor changed, the whole thing. So now listen, now think about this for a second. Here these guys are, and they came for a report. And they said, okay, 10 of them got together and said, man, the people there, the cities are fortified, and the people are stronger than us. We're like grasshoppers in our sight compared to them. And even in theirs, they didn't go and solicit opinions from those giants. They were just assuming that. So now, you know what happened? The same deception that they were under, listen, and the bondage of Egypt that became the deception of the wilderness, they're carrying that deception into the promised land now. And it's like, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And that is a gross exaggeration, no matter who it was that they faced. But you notice, they brought back report of the descendants of Anak, and it was three people, three giants. They had well over 100,000 men in those tribes that were ready to go and take. You have to understand, there were five different tribes that were in the promised land. None of them got along. All of them would fight and bicker. And man, they fortified their cities because they didn't like each other. See, what's interesting is that Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Rebekah were all buried in that cave. So God's people had already, they're not the first people of God's people that had ever been there. But what's interesting is Moses said, listen, man, here's what the Lord's asking. What do you see? Man, how's the land? How are the cities? How are the people? What do the harvests look like? Bring back some fruit. Man, they brought back the most incredible report that you could ever imagine of any land. They had never, you have to understand that these people were born in the wilderness. They were leaving a land that nobody wanted to live in. I'm talking to you guys today about receiving what God has for you. Man, you guys think about how much seed you already have in the ground. Man, you think some of you guys that have been Christians for 5 and 10 and 20 and 30 years. I've been a Christian for over 35 years. Sandy's been a Christian longer. But so how much seed do we have in the ground? Man, how much seed do we have in the kingdom? You think about the plentiful harvest, what God has for all of us. And you know what I believe? I believe we just have to learn how to receive it and not receive the deception of the enemy that keeps things fogged and confused and blurry. Man, it's got to be a clear picture. Man, my kids all pick fun and laugh at me because my Instagrams, they look great to me, but I guess when they get transmitted, something happens in the technology and they get a little shaky and blurred. When I took the picture, they were clear as a bell, right, Sandy? But then when they go, it's just a little bit, it goes like this. And you know what? That's what happens in our lives. See, the enemy can't touch you. I know that bugs some of you guys because you want a way out, like the devil's on top of me. He can only deceive you. So 10 of those spies came back deceived. 2 of those spies came back. What did Joshua say? Let's go right now. Are you kidding me? This is what I've lived my whole life for. Man, I remember when I gave my life to Jesus. Do you understand? When I was in high school and college, not one single Christian, no one came up to me and said, hey, Shear, man, you repent of your sin. You ask God to forgive you. He will. You make Jesus the Lord of your life, and you know what? You'll live forever. The burden of shame and guilt will come off your life. I think I would have taken it, but no one did it. See, I think we're holding back. I hope I'm not that kind of leader that can teach you how to give and you don't know how to receive. And I'm telling you, you're thinking, well, it's as easy as giving. And it really is. But you know what? Just as giving is so practical, so is receiving, isn't it, Alex?
Yeah, it is.
This is my guy. I had to wake him up. He was dozing off back there. But listen, I brought in a big gun here. Let me just tell you, Alex Sway's right. She is inarguably the third or fourth best intern class we've ever had here because Jeremy was in that class. It would have been the best class, but Jeremy got Nina, so they're one now. So that it went from like the fourth best to like tied for second now or something. But the point is that, man, he's had Forbes has honored him. Man, he went from being the top intern in his industry to now running an intern department that is the top intern department in his industry. And he's just a financial planner. He's a wealth manager. You know, when I hear that, when I personally hear things like retirement, a conversation about retirement or about, man, my walls go up. And it's interesting because I don't want those to go up for us today. Because there are simple things that we can do, right, Alex?
Absolutely. So the simplicity of what we get to do, to receive, can be broken down into some very, very, very simple steps.
He's first, British, too, by the way.
Thanks for filling that in.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
There are people from Broken Arrow going, golly, what a... Now, wait a second. Wait one second here now, partner.
But first, we must see that increase. It's promised to us. So we must believe that it's coming. For some of us, it may be a raise. For some, it may be a bonus. For your business, it may be a surge in sales. But it's promised that we will receive it. What we then need to be able to do is then prepare that infrastructure, prepare the capacity to be able to receive. And in a very, very straightforward example that's up on the screen is building that infrastructure by whether it be a retirement account or a more complex account, but seeing that increase and then acting on it. Okay, the last point there is establishing that account or establishing whatever it might be. It may be debt, maybe acquiring a new business, whatever layer of complexity that it might be. But these are three simple steps that Pastor Bill asked me to share on this, on receiving the promise.
Right. So if I'm Joe Blow and I walk into your office and I say, hey, listen, I need some help with my future. And you're going to start with, you've got to see it. Where do you want to be? And what are the vehicles that are going to be used? But then you've got to set those things in motion. But I think part of what you'd ask me is, what's your dream?
Absolutely. In each of us, God is revealing to us what that looks like. Everyone's going to be different. And so when I'm engaging on a daily basis with whether it be business owners or households, I want to find out what that is. to pull them forward. And then slowly but surely in steps, as you referenced, taking possession of what that looks like, taking possession of that increase. I can think of example after example where we'll meet, I'll engage with a new client, and a year later, we're celebrating because they confess with their lips, and over that course of time, increase has come, and maybe it's the debt, maybe it's savings account, maybe it's the business on the business side of business change or a merger or whatever it looks like, but we have reason to celebrate.
Right. Well, and we had lunch this week and just talked about this with some guys, and Alex said the principles that he sees in God's word and that he hears and learns at church, he begins to use them in his business and his practice. Because if you think about it, you have what you say. God says, look, it might look perilous. It might look like all there is death. But I've set before you life and death. Choose life. That there's always going to be an option of life. There's also always going to be a step of life. Everything you put your hand to prospers. That it's that you look at it just feels like impending doom. Because maybe there's people that have just been in the wilderness all their lives. Not, you know, it's just day by day and hand to mouth and month to month. And the biblical definition, that's the biblical definition of poverty, is just month to month and hand to mouth, just barely enough. See, that's what, honestly, I think holds a lot of people back from making true decisions to being able to make a full commitment and relinquishing all exits in the kingdom that and serving God with everything in their life. I believe because they don't have that more than enough life. They don't live a step ahead. Go ahead.
And it starts with one tiny step. So as you think for yourself about what that does look like, it may be something so small, but that momentum, that movement can gain and can grow and I mean, it's just receiving the promised land.
Well, I look at how easy it is. There's men all around this room that have started businesses. And now they could go out tomorrow and start a new business. And it's like a bird taking flight, or it's like you getting up and walking out of this. You have to get your legs under you. You just have to do it once. You know, you may skin your knee a little bit. But the bottom line with this is practically applying your faith. That you're believing God for a future. Well, how does that happen? It could happen you're believing God for a raise. Well, what do you do? Man, open an account to put that extra money from that raise. Because too many people, and here's my issue with this is, too many people get that raise and buy a new set of wheels for their truck or buy a new television or buy, and I'm telling you, that's people, I believe that raise is just an increase in the seed that God wants to produce in your life to be able to bring that harvest in. Man, I'll tell you, I see even a body language shift in the room with some people. Man, some of you guys that have this in you. See, what Joshua and Caleb looked at the promised land as, an adventure. I mean, think about it. They sounded like 12 or 13-year-old kids. They're like, this is the land, and we can't. Then the 10 of them said, man, we can't go in there. Man, that land's too hard, and the cities are too fortified, and the people are too strong. Man, I'm not going. What did Joshua say? Let's go right now. Let's go. I have been there. I spent 40 days in there. I want all of it. I'm telling you, let's go. And you understand, the descendants of Anak, that Joshua wiped them off the planet within the next 50 years. They were gone. You guys aren't running into any of the descendants of Anak because Joshua took care of them, because that was the exceptional spirit that was on the inside of him. But see, for some of you guys, this adventure that we're talking about with the promised land, you have to see it as that. And on the other side of this are new businesses and new homes, homes that you can just pay for. See, this isn't just simply motivational or inspirational. This is God's plan. This is God to get his children out of bondage, out of the wilderness, and into the promised land. And what it required was steps. And let me just tell you, the wilderness was extended so much because of unbelief, because of doubt, because of rebellion. I believe that there's a lot of people that are watching, listening to, here today in this service that, man, the deception of the enemy has held you back and has diminished your capacity. And that's all this is about. Man, what Alex is going to talk about next week, we're going to talk about extending our capacity. Man, there's a promise in Isaiah where a word of the Lord came and said, look, make things bigger. Prepare for increase. Maybe you haven't experienced increase because you haven't prepared for increase. See, that's the key. And there's guys in here. Let me tell you, there's Roger Bannisters in this room. And they said for decades it was impossible to break a 4-minute mile until Roger Bannister broke it. Then you know what? Hundreds of high school kids are doing it now. I mean, you think about it. There are Roger Bannisters in this room. There's one sitting right up here right now. Right here in our church. We've got a financial phenom in our church. It's time to unlock the motivation. It's time for us to take our rightful place. Listen, rightful place as children of the Most High God. My daddy's the creator of the heavens and the earth. My daddy owns cattle on 1,000 hills. My daddy has set this up to where everything I put my hand to, what? Prospers. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Man, he's given you the keys to the kingdom. Man, let's unlock the motivation. Let's be who God's called us to be. Let's break through. Man, what if this became just an incubator for business all over the country? What if? What if that's in you? What if there's an idea on you just knocking at the door of the Lord and just saying, God, man, you know what? He opens that door once you knock, and you know what happens? An idea comes to you. Man, there's people all around you that can help you right here set a plan for that idea. What if you could sit in front of somebody and them say, what's your dream? Man, I'd hate to tell you, there's some times in my life that I don't know that I'd have a dream. I don't know that I have a ready answer. But I'm telling you now, I do. What's your dream?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.